Yes, welcome back into another edition of the Jungle Show. Thank you all for joining and listening. Once again, we are live here on Auburn Daily's podcast feed and YouTube channel, just like we are after every single Auburn basketball game, here to talk Auburn basketball. And sadly, again, we're here to talk about another Auburn loss, again, in SEC play. Lost four out of the last five. This one, you fall to the sweep to the Texas A&M Aggies by a score of 83-78. Not the outcome that we all wanted, but definitely saw much improvement from this Auburn basketball team, from especially offensively, from their game this weekend against Tennessee, and see what kind of momentum we can bring into the Alabama game on Saturday to try and get that win, which I think will be very important. We'll talk about that in a second. But to do that, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, this one was hard, and we'll talk about the reasoning why here in just a second. But what is your overall thoughts on this one?
Overall thoughts is we played maybe one of our better games that we've played all year, especially road games. Shot the ball well from three. I did not rebound particularly well, but they're the top offensive rebounding team in the league, so we knew we would struggle a little bit there. We got production from four of our five slots on the team, a good production. Everything went right.
Yeah. Except for one stat category.
What stat category could that be?
You know, I don't know if you're surprised by this, but the back end of this show will be more about what to do next about the officiating, but the free throw count in this game was a little odd. A lot of it is just the kind of the way the game was going. Auburn was knocking down threes. Auburn had nine threes in this game. Auburn was just playing so much better, and they were getting everything they wanted on the offensive end. And Texas A&M had to get to the line to get any offense and to get back in this game. But there were a couple of them in particular that I want to talk about here in a minute. But the free throw count was 39-14. You're not going to win a game on the road in the SEC when the free throw count is by a difference of 25.
25 shots. And they shot almost 80% from the line. You're not going to win on the road. You're not going to win at home. No, you're not going to win anywhere. You're not going to win on a neutral floor. It's just I have never in all of my life playing basketball, coaching basketball, watching basketball, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, you always kind of go, hey, officials, let's see you even the fouls out a little bit. It's 7-4 or whatever.
Yeah.
And those usually come out in the wash. 39-14. 39 free throws. At one point, the announcer, and I was listening to the radio call, our guys were like, they've made like two baskets in the second half. And this was late in the second half.
That was about 7 minutes left to go in the game.
Yeah, they made two or three baskets and had taken over the game.
Yeah.
It was really not fun to watch. Pat Adams needs to go away. He likes to see himself on TV, I think, because – I don't know.
TV
39-14. TV Pat, yes.
Yeah. So, and before we just start, you know, just making this all about the officials, because that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the team and the game. But it is going to be hard. From those of you who watch this basketball game, you understand that it's hard to talk about stuff that went wrong for Auburn to not come out in the win column in this game, because there really wasn't stuff that really went wrong.
No.
Just like you mentioned, four of the five starters played absolutely incredible, and one in particular, Wendell Green, played great. He played one of his best games of the year. And I know he only went 8 of 18. He had 20 points. He had 6 assists. He had 4 rebounds. He was great overall. Jalen Williams, after a 1-10 performance against Tennessee, he comes out shooting the lights out.
Three out of five from three.
Also has four rebounds and four assists. He played great, even defensively. Like, I'm not saying that these guys just play good on offense. Auburn played well enough on the defensive end to win this game too.
Jalen had three steals and a block. Yeah. That's four possessions that he stopped.
Yeah. Outside of Jani Broome and foul trouble in the second half, Jani Broome was dominant in this game once again. 18 points, 10 rebounds, went 8 of 10 from the field. It's a great game from Jani Broome. Alan Flanagan had a really good game getting in the starting lineup after a bad game against Tennessee.
Everybody had a bad game against Tennessee.
Yes, but he had 12 points, went 4 of 8 from the field, had 6 rebounds. And then Auburn got some, not great, but got a little bit of production off the bench. Lior made a three. Dylan Carwell had a dunk. Katie Johnson had 5 points. But and so let's talk about a reason other than the foul count and the free throw count, the officials, why Auburn could have lost this game. Because Auburn played, I think, one of their best games that they've played on the road. I think that only competes with the game against Washington, where you just put on an offensive clinic up in
against
Seattle.
A bad Washington team.
That's true. Yes, that's very true. This was a quad one game and a quad one opportunity for Auburn, which they're now 1-5 in. But let's talk about the shooting guard position. Zett had 6 points in this game, had 2 rebounds. 6 points is 6 more points than he's had the past 3 games.
He at least scratched the stat sheet.
And he had
statistician move his pen on the stat sheet. So yes, he did much better.
And with that what you're saying doesn't count for what Zep does on the defensive end or as a leader. Zep is a very good, an elite on ball defender and a experienced player. But Zep did finally score, burying those 2 threes at the beginning of the second half to kind of push Auburn's lead out. And you know, Auburn was able to take a 9-point lead coming out of the break. But at that shooting guard position, Auburn's history at that position has been great, especially under Bruce Pearl. You're talking about guys, even guys like TJ Lang. Then you're talking about, of course, Bryce Brown. And then Samir Dowdy played a lot of that position as well. Mm-hmm. So the shooting guard position, the two guard position, has been great under Bruce Pearl. We've not seen that at all this year with Zep and KD running that spot. And we finally saw what we've been wanting to see, what we've been begging this coaching staff to see if it would work out. Mm-hmm. Put Trey Donaldson, the freshman point guard, at point guard. Let him run the one, and then let the best shooter on the team, Wendell Green, run that two-guard position that we saw be so successful under Bruce Pearl, and it worked great. It was great. I think that should be the starting lineup. I don't think it will be because you can't bench Zep for a game like this. You can't change a lineup for a game that you played so well enough to win like this. But man, you really want to see that more and more and more because that I loved that lineup.
I did too. For what it's worth, Trey Donaldson went 0-3 and 0-1. He had 1 assist and 1 turnover, but he had 3 steals in the limited minutes that he played. He played 12 minutes. And most of the time he was with Wynn on the court. When it happened, I noticed it right away because, like you said, we've been talking about it on the show for a couple weeks. Why can't we run Trey at one? He gets back up 1 minute anyway and win at the two. Mm-hmm. The only issue with it right now is you need win at the one down the stretch. And by moving him to two when Trey comes in, you're causing him to run another shift.
That's true.
And I'm afraid he played, 31 minutes, 32 minutes last night. That's a lot of minutes for Wynn.
That's
especially
true.
As hard as he plays. So I'm like you, though. I don't know why we wouldn't just
start
it like that.
Yeah.
And if at the end of the game you want to bring Zep or KD in – to be that two, and let Wynn go to the one, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And we've got to figure the two out. We don't have to figure the two out. Coach Pearl, I know he knows more about basketball than any of us. He's got to be frustrated by that, though. Because if you combine Zepp and KD, you got 11 points. You got
three threes.
Four rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
You got one turnover, one steal. I mean,
and let's just point out that those
shooting guard.
But that isn't a bad game for either of those two. Both of those guys played really well. Again, we didn't have a player play bad in this game.
I didn't
like
so.
We did like we did all of them against Tennessee. But it was you've got to get more from that position due to the fact that we've seen the teams that Bruce Pearl have had that were really successful. They had a really, really good and effective really good score at their shooting guard position.
Uh-huh. And he's a shooter. That's why, talking before the show started, do you keep Wynn next year and let him play the two with Aiden Holloway coming in? You know you lose Zepp, so you go and you got to go in the portal and get a guy who can shoot the ball at a 40% type of clip from outside. And I don't know if that means you have to process a guy like KD. I like KD. I like watching him play. I like his attitude. But if you're not producing, you're not producing. This is big boy basketball. This is not junior high basketball.
I think next year you have a lot more options considering you'll have Holloway instead of Jasper. I think that provides you a lot of leeway. But you also got to think you're still going to have Donaldson, and you're also still going to have Chance Westry. You're going to get Chance Westry back, which will be huge, especially at those two positions. We don't know what kind of pure shooter Chance Westry really is, but
we don't know much about him.
He can play the point guard position. Yeah. So I think next year you have a little bit more leeway with that.
So, I agree. I just am trying to process how in the world we get – look, this year we kind of are what we are. We have a tough game Saturday. Then we go through a stretch where we play Missouri, Ole Miss, and Vanderbilt.
Yep.
And should be favored in those three games. You win those – I think if you win those three games, you're in the tournament. I can't believe we're talking about are we in the tournament or not, but we are what we are.
We're 1-5 in the quad one.
Yeah. If we could steal an Alabama at home this Saturday in what's going to be a crazy game, or go to Kentucky where Arkansas, the team we beat, Arkansas just beat them by 15 last night in Rupp. Or if we could get 10. Look, we lost to Tennessee by 3 in their building when we played as bad as we played all year.
Yeah,
they have to come to Neville. Right now, I'm watching them play Vanderbilt and at Vandy, and it's back and forth. It's within 3 points lead either way.
Yeah.
So, steal one of those games. It'll be a quad one win, and then you're talking about you're pretty confident you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk to the official. Played well enough to win in this game, beat A&M in every single stat category except for the free throws.
And the rebounds.
And got out-rebounded by just 4. So I want to talk about the difference between getting blown out at home against Texas A&M a few weeks ago and this game played, or you should have won. The defense on the guards has gotten so much better.
Completely changed.
I don't know if it's a game plan thing. We saw a lot of game plan changes against Tennessee that really, really confused guys like Sakai Ziegler and Vescovy.
Yep.
And you saw it in this game as well. It really, really confused Tyrese Radford. Radford had 30-9 against you in Neville Arena. He had 10 points and 4 rebounds against you in on his home floor.
Didn't hit a three till late in the game.
Yeah.
On a fast break.
Yeah. So that has improved so, so much. A lot of that credit goes to those guards who are guarding them. Wendell Green, Zeb Jasper, and Katie Johnson have been elite on the defensive end the past three games.
Don't forget Alan Flanagan in that.
Alan Flanagan as well. Yeah. Chris Moore should be on there as well.
Yeah, I agree.
So a lot of that goes to that credit. The game plan, though, the double of Jani Broome when he comes up in doubles, when they trap at the top of the key, when they're going above the screen instead of below the screens, that all has changed since that Texas A&M loss. What thing has specifically stuck out to you that was the difference of Radford going from 30 and 10?
All right, so we talked about this after the Georgia game, because that was the game after Radford did that to us, right?
Yep.
He went off on us. We played Georgia with two all-conference type of guards.
Yep.
And completely shut them down. Yep. Completely. And we talked about that high screen, because everybody nowadays runs pick and roll in the middle of the floor.
Yep.
Everybody runs it. And what we were doing with Radford that year or that game was we were playing drop coverage on that screen, and he was attacking our big man. When I say drop coverage, the big man is not hedging the screen. He's playing drop, playing back towards the lane to keep it from being a pick and roll. And literally Radford was just seeing that and attacking the big and scoring every time he touched it. Since that game, we have – so it's not even really a high hedge as much as it's a, okay, I'm going to make him go one way so we know which way he's going to go. I'm going to make him go left, or I'm going to make him go right. And I'm going to do that by running the big out on the opposite side and forcing him that direction. That way the guard is not guessing which way to guard him. He knows the big's going to force him this way. Now I've got a step and I can stay in front of him. Yeah. And we did it against Georgia and shut down their guards. Then we went to Knoxville, did it against two all conference type of guards, shut down their guards. Mm-hmm. We did it last night. The other guard, Wade Taylor, had a game. He's just a really good shooter.
He's to the free throw line.
He's a really good shooter, and he went to the free throw line 10,000 times. But what we did to Radford, I think, is really, really impressive. And so, we've done it. And now, coming up, we're going to play against good guards with Alabama. We're going to have to do the same thing. Because we can't help off the shooters for Alabama. They'll drain threes and they'll beat us by 50.
Yep.
So you get it to where you know which way the guy's going to have to go, and you've got that step to stay in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great, great point that you just mentioned. So just like you said, what we've got ahead of us, we talked about right after the Georgia game, we're like, okay, here comes the gauntlet.
Yep.
You lose by 3 to Tennessee on the road in a heartbreaker. You lose by 5 to Texas A&M in a game that you played well enough to win, but the free throw count was this bad. It was this lopsided, at least. Now you get an Alabama team who's red hot. They're undefeated in the conference. They'll be coming in number 3 in the country into Neville Arena, which will have College Game Day. Let's take a second and break down what we have coming up. Because just like you mentioned, after the Alabama game, you have a 3-game stretch where all must-win games that you'll be favored in. But if you could steal this Alabama game, it would be absolutely huge.
It would change everything.
So talking about Alabama, just like you mentioned, very good guards. Mark Sears will be their point guard number 1. Obviously, Riley Griffin is a freshman. He's really, really good as well. He's been playing great as of recently. Nyamari Burnett's back from injury. And Javon Quinterly. They've got really, really good guards. But against Alabama last year, in both times, you could help off of those guards that when they had Jaden Shackelford, you could help off of them because you weren't worried about three-point snipers in the corners, on the wings, that sort of thing. You have to be worried this time.
Yeah, obviously, it's what they're looking for.
Brandon Miller, Noah Gurley, Noah Clowney, those guys are absolute snipers from outside. You cannot help off the guards. You've got to get in Brandon Miller's head. He's the best freshman in college basketball. He's one of the best players in college basketball. You've got to get in his head and get in his head early if you want any chance of beating this Crimson Tide team.
I agree. He's in games that they've struggled in, he struggled in.
Yeah.
And they played at Arkansas. Arkansas hung with them until about 10 minutes left, and all of a sudden, kid hit 2 3-pointers, and the game was over. It was done. Alabama ran away from him.
He's the difference maker.
He's their guy. And yes, you've got it. I would rather him drive the ball than stand outside and shoot. He's that type of player. It's the same thing when people would try to guard Jabari last year. They'd a lot rather him try to drive it than stand out there and kill you from three. He's the type of kid that can kill you from three, and he's the type of kid that's got a little attitude like Jabari did last year as well, that he wants to rip your heart out and knows that he's the best player on the floor.
Absolutely.
And he can change a game.
Yeah.
He can be guarded. He's not Superman. Jalen could guard him.
I would not expect Jalen to guard him. He's done.
Allen could guard him.
Brandon Miller's had real trouble in the games that he struggled, which were the games that Alabama has struggled. And when he is guarded by longer athletic wings who can compete with not only his height and size, but can compete with him, he can't just go right around it. I would fully expect Alan Flanagan to be that guy, especially with Flanagan being a senior like he is.
Yeah.
I would expect
Alan's a lot stronger than he is. A lot stronger.
Yeah.
And a better athlete than he is. Alan's going to give up 2 or 3 inches in height, but Alan's an athlete, athletic enough to do it. If we can play physical with him, I think that that's what you do. But my worry is we didn't even play that physical last night, and that team shot 39 free throws.
So that's a great segue, right? Yeah. Let's
You're welcome.
Yeah. What? I don't – there's not a way to describe – if you did not watch the game Tuesday night.
Don't.
There's not a way that we can sit up here and describe to you what was happening, especially in the second half. Just in the second half alone, Texas A&M shot 27 free throws. In that span of about after Auburn made its run to go up 9 in the second half, right out of the gate, right out of the break, Texas A&M shot probably 20 straight free throws.
It seemed like every time down the floor.
Every single time down the floor. If there was a layup shot, they were going to the free throw line, no matter if it was make or miss, no matter who it was. It was just getting a little old.
I think I tweeted out or maybe snapped with you, it's possibly the most boring half of basketball I've ever watched, and it's my favorite team playing. And they're playing well.
Yeah.
But every time we went down to the defensive end, you knew a whistle was going to blow.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, here we go again. Under 12 timeout, which came right at 12 minutes, like 11:59. So basically 8 minutes into the second half, both teams were in the bonus. They were in the double bonus. At that point, you look at the TV and go, this is going to take another hour and a half to play because they're not going to – they obviously – so the first half got a little chippy at one point.
Well,
and the referees didn't have control of it, and they're going to get somebody hurt. And then they called a really bad technical on Alan Flanagan.
Changed the entire game.
For just blowing a kiss at the bench,
yeah.
Which their number zero, I don't know his name, had just the play before made a bucket or something and ran over to our bench and was talking to him all the way down the line, and nothing happened. Allen drops a three to put us up 10,
yeah,
and change blows a kiss. Let these kids look. It's an emotional game. Let them play, have fun. But what happened is the officials obviously went into the locker room and went, "We've got to get control of this game, and we've got to be the ones that control it," which is the wrong answer as an official. It's not your job to control the game.
Yeah.
In fact, most games, you shouldn't even know who the officials are because they're not a part of the game. You knew who
the officials were last year.
I know who Pat Adams is.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to see Bruce Pearl's record in games that dude calls because I don't think he likes Bruce Pearl very much.
Yeah. Just like you mentioned, I wanted to talk about that technical foul. Changed the entire outcome of the first half. Auburn had a chance to go up 15 in the halftime, and that technical foul after Allen hit the bucket brought them back down within 6 in one possession, and then they made a three, and all of a sudden it was a three-point game.
Yep.
And then Texas A&M made a nice little run at the end of the first half to go up in the half, up one, and then right out of the gate for Auburn in the second half, back up 9. An unbelievable
running our
start
stuff,
the second half.
Getting any look we want.
Exactly.
Playing well on defense.
And then for the next 10 minutes, it was every single time. Like, A&M didn't need to shoot the ball. They were going to go to the free throw line. I don't even know why we just played the game. Like,
it was a free throw shooting contest.
Should have gone just straight.
By the way, we're going to lose most free throw shooting contests because we're not a very good free throw shooting team. And when Wayne Green, who's one of the best in the SEC, goes 3 of 6, it's not a good thing. No. So, while I think the referees changed the way the game was played and tried to take control where that's not their job, I also think that Wayne Green's got to make those free throws.
Yeah.
And can we talk about the timeout down 3?
Final, basically
20 seconds left. Yeah.
20 seconds left. Auburn comes out down 2, I might. We were down 2.
Okay.
Did not need a 3-point jumper. We were down 78-76.
Okay.
And we came out of the timeout, ran something. I believe it to have been for Jalen Williams to shoot a wing 3, which at the time he was 3 for 5.
And he was open.
And he was open, and it would have been a good shot, and I would have lived with it, whether he made it or missed it. He did not pull the trigger. There was still 10 seconds left on the shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there was enough awareness from the others to know that. And so Jalen passed it back to Wendell Green about 4 feet beyond the 3-point line. And Wendell just jacked it he was really, really guarded on the play. And it looked like it got tipped and it missed.
Yep.
So we talked about this a lot with the Arkansas game last year. A whole bunch of other scenarios. I mean, even to look back at the games that we won, game that we won in overtime at Mississippi State, the final play of regulation on that last year was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was – so we – the past 2 years, we've really struggled to get that final shot, which in the previous years we haven't. What does Bruce and the staff need to do to change that?
So I think they have – last year was terrible. That last play of the Arkansas game, I wanted to throw up at the end of that game because Wynn had been beating his man the whole time. All he had to do was beat his man and lob it to Walker, and we're going to overtime or whatever. Or maybe winning.
We would have won.
Yeah. So this – the other day in Tennessee, that's off a missed free throw. Wynn dribbles down. we run a set play. A set play to get him an open three look that he got clobbered on and no call. Last night, we came down. We were running our set. Didn't have anything. We called timeout with about 18 seconds on the shot clock. I thought, good timeout. That's the right thing to do. We get a timeout. They go and talk. Yeah. We come out. We run the out-of-bounds play, and Jalen has a look from about a foot behind the three. It would have been a long three for him, but he'd been making 60% of what he shot. I think the play was run for Jalen, like you said, and it worked. The play worked. That's the shot. That's the shot you want. And he hesitated and threw it back out.
Yeah.
At that point, the play's broken. It's broken down. It's gone.
So Wendell had to shoot.
Wynn had to do something. And I wish when he thinks, I wish in his mind it would go, I've got to do something, drive to the basket.
Instead of, I've got to do but something,
what it does is his mind, it's, I got to do something, launch it. And he did it against Arkansas, and he did it last night. And it's not his fault. The play was run. I said on Twitter, there's no way you're going to convince me that they went into the locker or went into that timeout and Bruce Pearl drew it up where Wynn would take a guarded three with 10 seconds left on the shot clock from 38 feet.
No chance. Yeah.
He didn't draw that up. He drew that up to get Jalen a shot and give us a chance at a rebound.
Yep.
And it didn't work. Can Wynn make that shot? Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a guy, I think the guy got a piece of it. And it was about 4 feet short. I also think Wynn had played 32 minutes in a ball game and his legs weren't as under him as they usually are.
That's true.
But again, I just wish Wynn would click and go, I got to do something. I got to do it fast. I'm going to the bucket. Yeah. Because the referees obviously knew how to use their whistles. Maybe we'd have gotten a foul. Now, he was struggling from the free throw line, but at least he gets there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they've tried to fix, because I agree, last year was bad. All the last year's end of games were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. Georgia, we won because when we took it to the basket and made it. This year, we've had the Tennessee game, end of game situation, where I think we got the exact shot that the play was drawn up to get. And the Texas A&M end of game situation, and I think we got the exact shot the play was designed to get. He just didn't take it.
Yeah, that's okay.
Jalen had a great game. I wish he'd be more aggressive.
Me too. I wish he'd be meaner.
Meaner, yeah. Yes. Make sure. Somebody pinch him and make him mad.
Yeah, I dare Noah Clowney to do that. Saturday, I dare Noah Clowney to pinch Jalen Williams or something like that. But we'll go ahead.
By the way, do you see Derek Hall is going to be there?
Oh, yeah. He better be.
He said, what? College game day and the Iron Bowl of basketball, you bet I'm going to be there. Yeah, can't wait to see him in the – I wish he'd go find the guy at West Virginia and punch him out, but he's trying to do that last year. Just so you know, breaking news, we can break news on this show. Not about Auburn, but we can break news on this show. Russell Westbrook is no longer a Laker.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was traded to the Jazz, going to play with Walker Kessler.
If Walker's going to have 20 rebounds a game from getting Russell Westbrook's messages.
Get his shots that go bounce off the rim. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
But that's interesting. But we'll go ahead and wrap this one up on this edition of The Jungle Show. Thank you all for listening. If you want to find us on Twitter, go to @GrayOldenburg, @WarEagleHoops, or you can find the amazing stuff on AuburnDaily.com. Just go there or find them on Twitter @TheAuburnDaily. We'll be back later this weekend, early next week, to discuss the Alabama game and to preview what's next for Auburn basketball. Thank you all. War Eagle.